This morning, we meet Teju Shuwan, who is formerly of Bhutan, but today calls Albury Wodonga home, since 2008, in fact. But there was quite an intervening journey and story, and he's kindly agreed to come into the studio and share that with us this morning. Teju, very good morning to you.
Thanks, Joshua.
So you've been in the local area now for about 4 years or so, but a lot happened before you arrived on the border in Albury Wodonga. You left Bhutan at the age of 10. Can you remember growing up in Bhutan? Can you tell us what it was like?
I was born and brought up in a remote town of Bhutan, Gosi. I was about 10, as I said before, before I left. So I still have childhood memories where, it was a life of uncertainty, growing as a child amid conflict. So,
when you say conflict, was there internal unrest, or were you talking a war?
Sort of internal unrest, and because I belong to a community that lived in the southern part of Bhutan, and an ethnic group, and because we were that ethnic group in the south, we were discriminated against, and government brought about several policies to undermine this community and to keep control over this community.
We've heard that story, I think, a number of times. So you were an ethnic group within Bhutan. You were persecuted.
That's right, yeah.
Were you living in a village? Is that the environment you were living in?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And how many people in the village where you were?
About 1,000.
What sorts of things did you do? I don't know whether very many of us know very much at all about Bhutan in Australia. Were you a farming community? Is that the sort of thing you would do during the day?
That's right. My family had a farming background for generations. So we lived in a subsistence farming. We as kids went to school, and parents, they were mostly involved in farming. So all sorts of farming, animal farming and crops and sorts of things.
And did you help your parents with that, or were you not old enough to do that?
I think we helped out in a way as little kids, but because we were pretty little, so we couldn't help as much.
Did you understand that your parents were thinking of leaving Bhutan when you were 9, 10 years old?
Because we didn't have school, schools were closed, and we were living with parents in the farm. So, it was apparent that something was going on. People were getting agitated, and army coming to the town and raiding villages and towns, and people being arbitrarily arrested and put behind prison. So we were witnessing all that, and there was uncertainty about life, and a lot of fear about your safety and things like that. So I still remember my parents trying to live in amid that situation, but they could no longer live.
So they tried to stay, but it became too hard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
for them, and I guess they felt perhaps the family, your safety was going to be compromised. That maybe you're in danger from the army coming.
Yeah, that's right. And this happened for quite some time. So it was really tough decision to leave everything behind and making your journey where you don't have destination. So you don't know where you are going. And I still remember leaving my hometown in the middle of the night and making, carrying whatever you could, a little bag and food stuff that you could carry, and then make your journey through the jungle, because middle of the night through the jungle, so you don't fear wild beasts, but you fear human beings, because there's the fear that has come from the authority and the army. So sleeping under the trees during the night. So it took 3 days to leave Bhutan, cross the border, and waiting for the appropriate time so that you could sneak out of the border.
So you were on foot at this stage, just carrying what you could.
Yeah, that's right.
So no vehicle?
No. Because you could have the alternative way to come out of Bhutan, like through various means of transport. But because you are fleeing, so which means that without the knowledge of the authority, you have to make your journey out of that situation then and there, and you have to make split-second decisions. So, yeah, like...
So when you cross the border... The border you're talking about is the Bhutanese-Indian border.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So you crossed the border into India.
Yeah.
And that was, in one way, a relief, but in another way, India and Bhutan have close ties. So perhaps everything wasn't all resolved then. Did you know what was going to happen? Where did you go once you entered India?
We went to live in a little town called Sunkos, where there were people like who had a similar like background. Migrants living there, and they gave us refuge, and we lived there for about 1 month, and we didn't set up camps because we were sort of hiding, and slowly, like when we had a critical mass of people like coming there, like we started putting up camps in an open, and then living together as a group. But as the authority, like Indian authority, realized that there were a growing number of people coming to live there, so they started coming, like CRPs and local police. They started coming to that place and started. Warning us that if we set up camps and started living there, we are likely to be deported to Bhutan. So, and we had a clear choice about leaving that place and moving somewhere else so that we are safe. So, we were put into trucks, like, like big trucks.
When you say you were put into trucks, do you mean that the Indian police put you into trucks?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that happened in the end, they moved you on from that campsite, didn't
they?
Yeah, that's right. And where did they take you?
So they took us to the Indian-Nepal border, Kakarvita. That's the place, like in the eastern Nepal. Like, so we were left. We were unloaded there, and we were asked to go to Nepal.
So they forcibly made you cross the border to go into Nepal.
That's right. Yeah.
On ABC Goulburn Murray, Teju Shiwan, formerly of Bhutan and formerly a refugee, but not today. Today, an Australian citizen living in Albury Wodonga and telling us the story and the journey. And we've heard how Teju and his family left Bhutan and their Bhutanese village in the middle of the night to cross the Indian border. But as we've just heard, eventually were forcibly loaded into trucks from that spot in India and taken to the Nepalese border and made to cross. Once he crossed over into Nepal, there's a refugee camp that you did wind up at. But did you go straight to the refugee camp?
We had an initial interview, and then we were sent to the refugee camp, yeah.
How did you find it? Did the police tell you where to go, or was it near the border?
It's fairly close, but say about 30 kilometres from the border.
Did the people there that were taken by truck, all of your Bhutanese co-refugees, were they all aware of that refugee camp? Because I'm just wondering, did they all sort of make a mass migration there?
We had some sort of... rumor going on, like sort of like not confirmed, but some news about people gathering in Nepal and setting up camps. We had that sort of news, but we didn't particularly know where we were going because we didn't have that idea about the place.
Were you relieved at the idea that there might be a refugee camp for people like yourselves, or were you afraid of it, or did you see it as a good thing?
In a way, good. We felt relieved because we had been living there in Bhutan and in India in fear. So we felt that we don't have that fear anymore because we didn't worry much about anything rather than saving our lives. So we thought, we are safe, and at least. Because we were going to the camp and there were a few people living there already, so we found. So was a big relief because we were safe, but we didn't worry about anything else.
And there were other Bhutanese people there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And were they of the same ethnic group as your family was?
Sort of. Like most people were from same ethnic background, but there was some people who were from Drukpa origin, which in a way that very close with the ruling class in Bhutan. They were also persecuted because they are sarsop of with specific ethnic Drukpas who were also persecuted because they have a distinct ethnic culture and tradition and the way of life. And
all right, so there were more than one ethnic group that was being persecuted Bhutan, and more than the group that you belong to. Mm. What was life like inside the Nepalese refugee camp?
Life is fairly basic, and you live each day. So if you're lucky, you make through the day, through the night. So if you could survive, that's you should be more than happy. So you don't have, like, I still, as a refugee, like, you feel like you don't have identity, you don't have a country, you don't have a future, you don't really dream big because you have to live in reality, and the reality of refugee life is to live each day, and if you survive, that's it. So you live through poverty, and it's about survival, so survival of the fittest. So there was a time when people were coming, and there was not much enough food, and people dying because of diseases. So there was a time when I, as a little kid, so I counted 40 dead bodies being cremated in a day, single day.
And this is inside the refugee camp?
In the refugee camp, yeah. Initial refugee camp in Maidar, which was the first camp set up.
Why did they run out of food? What happened to their food supplies?
Because there were growing number of people coming in the camp, and there was no formal support from no agency stepped in at that stage, like aid agencies. So people were like helping out each other, there was not much supplies because everyone was in crisis, and people in hundreds and hundreds of people coming in a day. So there was no structured support available then. So that was the reason why so many people lost their life. And yeah, it was pretty horrifying.
We can only imagine. So food was obviously a huge priority, as it would have to be. What was it like, the effect on your morale, your emotional health, being inside a refugee camp?
You live on fairly basic foodstuff, comparatively, you survive on about $5 a week on everything that you have as a refugee in the camp. So,
and how long did you do that for?
For 18 years.
18 years you were in that refugee camp?
Yeah, all my youth life was spent there. So
from the age of 10?
Yeah.
Until the age of 28?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's really hard, I think, for us to comprehend in Australia. At some point along the way there, because you made your application to become an Australian citizen, to be granted refugee status in Australia, from within that refugee camp?
Yes. We wanted to go back to Bhutan, but tried several times, several approaches and strategies, but didn't work. So resettlement was identified as the durable solution.
And how did Australia come up as a desirable country?
I didn't have a choice. Agencies stepped in to find a durable solution. So Australia was one of those resettling countries. So I didn't have a choice because I was told that I had to come here.
So what did you know about Australia? When they said, well, here's your only option to get out of here, you have to apply here, did you know anything about Australia?
Not really. I knew just a few things, but I had to do a few research, and then I had fairly basic idea about the continent and the country. But yeah, like once I was told that I was coming here, so I did some research and I found a few things about here.
And when, one or two quick things then on the along the timeline, when you were granted approval, what was that moment like?
I was, that was the happiest moment in my life, because then I felt like I have a new life, and I have I have future, and eventually if I'm able to, I could bring my family here, and I could have a decent life, because whole of my youth life was a struggle. So I felt I was looking for some sort of a breakthrough in my transition throughout my life, because my life has always been I've been through several transitions, and yeah, looking forward to living a decent life. So,
well, that's very understandable. And what have you made of life in Australia?
Oh, it's amazing. So for the last four years has been most rewarding experience in my life. And see, because I have lost so much in my life, and at times I put pressure on myself because I want to achieve all those things that I have lost in my life. So at times it's stressful, but overall, life has been very rewarding, and so I have been able to be involved in so many community activities, and I have been able to find work, and I have been working, probably 2 months after I have been here, and I have been studying. So, yeah, it has really been a rewarding experience for me.
Wonderful. Is your family going to be able to come over?
Some of my family members are here already. In this time frame, and a few more families are still in the camp. So, yeah, they want to come, but it's not very easy.
What do you want to do in the long run? You want to stay in Australia? Would you hope to return to Bhutan one day?
I haven't had that opportunity to get citizenship of a country, so I can't wait to be an Australian citizen.
All right, so that's still to come.
I say, yeah, still yes. To come. So probably in January. In about a few months' time.
So that's something to look forward to. We might touch base with you again then, if we can.
Sure.
We have to go for the news. Teju Shuwan, formerly from Bhutan and for the last 4 years from Albury Wodonga, thank you so much for telling us about your journey and a lot about your life.
That's all right. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.